Good morning. It's 6 after 9. John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. Health insurance costs and health care costs continue to rise, and health insurance rates are rising faster in Wisconsin than the average for the rest of the nation. Not only that, but there are significant disparities in costs between regions of the state. Health insurance in Superior, for example, costs nearly 30% more than it does in Madison. Well, I'd like to know why that is, and I'm sure you do too. To get some answers, we've invited Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, to be on the program today. His group just completed their Wisconsin Health Insurance Cost Rankings report, and we'll be referring to that during this program. You can find a link to the report on the Kathleen Dunn Facebook fan page or on at WPR.org on our Kathleen Dunn program page. Robert Craig, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, John. Glad to be here, and happy holidays.
And the same to you. Your organization just published its fifth annual report on Wisconsin's metro and regional insurance costs. Why did you start compiling this information, and how is the report assembled?
Well, 5 years ago when we started this, there was a lot of information out there about southeast Wisconsin have very high costs, Milwaukee area and the metro area, and not a whole lot about the rest of the state. And so we want to know what it was statewide and whether southeast Wisconsin was the only place there were high costs or whether or not it was a statewide problem. And what we ended up finding was that there was a great disparity, as you point out in your introduction, that, in fact, Milwaukee is high, but it's not the highest cost area of the state. That tends to be northwestern, north-central, and west-central Wisconsin, and that Madison is substantially lower than the rest of the state. It had 30% difference between the highest cost areas and Madison. And so we also began 2 years ago looking at this retrospectively, not just as a snapshot, so looking at the rate of inflation all the way back to 2000, and we found that the whole geographic distribution of costs in Wisconsin had changed dramatically, that Madison used to be middle of the pack in the year 2000, and that northeast Wisconsin used to be the lowest cost area, and that Green Bay and the Fox Valley area actually, although not the highest cost area right now, they've had the greatest rate of healthcare inflation. So they've caught up, been catching up to the high cost areas, and Madison has been the only one that's been going down, relatively speaking. I mean, it's still gone up in Madison, but there's an increasing gap between Madison and the rest of the state.
Okay, I want to make sure that we don't end up with confused terms here.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about the cost of health insurance or the cost of health care or both?
We're looking at health insurance premiums now, but of course they reflect health care costs in a way, but we are specifically measuring what people pay for health insurance premiums in each part of the state and statewide. And if you for a large group policy, the average take the insurance companies take that doesn't go to medical care is around 80 to 85%. So of that premium, over 80% in all likelihood is going to medical care. So these certainly reflect medical care as well, but they're specifically health insurance premiums.
And where does your information come from? I mean, do the companies give it to you, or how do you obtain it?
Yeah, this is a difficult thing to study because private insurance, they do not release the information. It's proprietary. And so the history of research on this nationally is that national experts have used public programs like Medicare, what the rates it gets in different cities and states of the country, and the federal employees program, federal workers, because that's in across the whole country and in every city of the country. And so they've looked at differentials that way. What we did is took what the state of Wisconsin is able to negotiate for state workers. And so there is actually an open bidding process every year by the various private insurance companies, and then that establishes what the rates are, and state workers get to choose in every county of the state which of the private plans available to them they'll take. There are 23 private plans in the state employee plan statewide, though not all of them are available to each person. And so since it's a bidding process, it actually is a very good reflection of what the general cost of health insurance is in a particular region. So we're looking at the state employee rates, but they're very good, what you would say in research, a surrogate for what the cost of health insurance is in each metro area or region of Wisconsin.
All right. Well, looking at this year's report, what do you find, what finding in this report do you think is the most significant?
I think that I'm trying to differentiate between what's most significant this year versus the overall report. I think that the most significant thing is that there are these great disparities between different health insurance markets. And so to have Madison is much cheaper as the other parts of the state is very significant. To see the major change in Northeast Wisconsin, where they've had a very rapid rate of health care inflation for the last 10 years, is significant. And it tells us that the markets in each region are very distinct. And so if you're going to reduce healthcare costs while maintaining or increasing quality, you need to deal with each market. There are different healthcare providers, different insurance plans available in Madison than in Green Bay or Milwaukee or La Crosse. And so this tells us that these markets function more or less well, and that most of the Wisconsin markets, though they may do well on quality, do not have very good cost competition, with the exception of Madison. The other thing that's important here is that there are quality measures in this report, and we found that a lot of the high-cost areas have very high-quality health plans that rate very well in terms of those measures. But there's not a correlation because the Southeast Wisconsin, you know, Milwaukee and the suburbs, Kenosha, Racine, have among the lowest quality. And the correlation seems to be about very high cost. And the correlation is to what kind of insurance people have. The nonprofit insurance that's connected to healthcare providers, those networks, your group health cooperatives, your Dean Cares, your Gunderson Lutherans, the Marshfield Plan, which is called Security, have very high quality. The for-profit national companies have like Humana and Blue Cross Blue Shield have very low quality, and in Southeast Wisconsin is dominated by those large for-profit companies. So that seems to be the effect on quality.
So, you know, I thought Blue Cross was a nonprofit.
They used to be. They are in a couple states. In Michigan, they still are. So your listeners in the UP, you have a nonprofit, Blue Cross. But they are now owned by WellPoint in most states, which is the largest health insurer in the country. And, in fact, they, when that happened under Tommy Thompson, they had to put a lot of money aside for public health research and medical research in order to pay back everyone for all the nonprofit reserves they had piled up. But in most states, they're for-profit and operate very much like the for-profit companies, exactly like them.
Okay, I need to have you help me understand some of the math here, because if you're looking primarily, because these are the figures that are available, on what the state gets as its negotiated rate with various insurance providers, it would seem to me that what they negotiate for a price in Madison ought to be the same as if they're negotiating for the whole state, don't they get one price for the whole state?
Well, there are very few providers that compete in every region of the state. In Madison, there are the four plans are connected to broader provider networks and health systems. So they're connected to UW, Meritor, to the Dean Care System, and so that you don't have. I mean, there's not a large market share in Madison for the for-profit companies, for Humana, for Blue Cross, for United Healthcare, and so the Madison plans are available in some other areas that are contiguous, like Rock County, for example, Southwest Wisconsin, Jefferson County, but they're not available statewide. And so you have different systems. So the Marshfield plan, which is called Security, is available in Wausau and Eau Claire, Stevens Point. It is, and Wisconsin Rapids, not available in La Crosse. It's not available in Madison. And what you have, we think, in Madison and this is what we need to point to when we do implement national health care reform, is a more competitive market where the four plans actually compete on cost and quality, and if one increases cost, it loses customers, whereas in other areas, they are not competing on cost, and therefore the market is not functioning as a market should, and that's where reform needs to point.
So we need more players in the marketplace, and that'll help keep costs down?
It's not necessarily more, it's what they're competing on. There are as many plans in the Milwaukee area as Madison. But what happens in say, a more dysfunctional Milwaukee, the Milwaukee area is a very dysfunctional healthcare market. And what you have is you have four different health systems. That's the hospital chains, right? You have Aurora, you have Wheaton Franciscan, you have Columbia St. Mary's, and you have the Frater Children's Hospital system. They are that people buy their insurance though not from plans that are that come from those health systems. They buy insurance from the for-profit companies, from Humana, from United Healthcare. And what happens is that if Aurora builds extra capacity that's not needed, which we believe is happening in suburban Milwaukee, they have the market power to tell the insurers, in essence, you have to take everything, our whole system, or you don't get any of it, and no health plan can work if it doesn't have Aurora. It's so big. And so the result is that extra cost simply gets built into premiums. In Madison, if a health plan increases rates substantially, it loses business to another plan which is competing for it with it, not only on cost and amenity, on quality and amenities, but also on cost. And so the market is dysfunctional in most parts of Wisconsin, but in varying degrees, except for Madison.
800-642-1234 is the number to call if you'd like to join our discussion. We're talking about a report that has just been released this week by Citizen Action of Wisconsin. It's their fifth annual Wisconsin Health Insurance Cost Rankings Report. We'll be referring to it in on that report in this program. And by the way, it's linked to the Kathleen Dunn Facebook fan page, where, by the way, you can also leave a comment, which we'll repeat on the air. It's also linked at WPR.org on the Kathleen Dunn program page. My guest is Robert Craig, who is Executive Director of Citizen Action Wisconsin. Just wondering, what your experience is, listeners, in your areas and what questions you might have about the report or about these issues. This is a great hour for you to get some information because this report is quite detailed and there's a lot in it, and we'll try and talk about as much of it as we can during this hour. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. And in fact, we already have an email, Robert Craig, so let's go to that. I'll read that. We'll get your response to it. And by then, I'm sure we'll have some callers who want to join us. Chuck from Chippewa Falls emails, good morning. Great show. When we moved here from Washington State 5 years ago, our health insurance rates skyrocketed. This was based purely on the average health of the residents of Wisconsin and not my specific health, as I rate the highest health bracket for my age. This tells me we already have socialized health care, but controlled by the insurance company, companies, plural, not by the citizens of this country. Robert Craig, you care to respond to that?
Sure. And it's not entirely. I mean, we haven't been able to find an age factor that Wisconsin costs are higher because it's an older population, for example, but certainly that's going to be a big issue moving forward because we're going to have an aging population. It's one of the reasons healthcare reform and getting it done right now is so important. But if you look at Eau Claire, Eau Claire's number four in the state right now in cost, and I include Chippewa Falls in the Eau Claire market. But it has been number one in our survey some years, so it's one of the most expensive, but it's also above average in quality. So it is a mix of for-profit and non-profit providers, so it has some very good non-profit insurance plans, but some of the lower-quality for-profit ones as well. It's dominated by both Marshfield's system and Mayo's health systems, those hospital chains and connections of clinics. So those are pretty high quality as well, but they're not, from what we can see in this data, they're not competing on cost. And so cost has always been high since we've been doing the survey in that part of the state, in northwest Wisconsin, relative to the rest. And if you think about it, it therefore costs a lot more to create a job in Eau Claire than it does in Madison. So it not only has an effect on the person who wrote the email, it obviously has an effect on the whole business climate and the economy of the areas that are higher cost.
800-642-1234. We're getting some calls. We'll go to the phones in just a moment. 800-642-1234. Still a line or two available for you if you want to call right now. You can also reach us at talk@wpr.org. We're talking about a report on health insurance cost rankings in Wisconsin and how the various parts of the state stack up and the reasons for these disparities, 27% higher insurance rates in Superior, where I live, as opposed to Madison, and why that might be. We're trying to uncover some of that stuff with Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin. And I'd like to hear what you have to say about this. 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 22 minutes after 9 o'clock, you're listening to the Ideas Network of WPR. John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn. Later on today, well, news seems to be easier to swallow when it's funny these days, like on The Daily Show or Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Well, Wait, Wait host Peter Sagal joins Ben Marins today on At Issue after 5 to discuss the current trend of comic news shows. That's after 5 o'clock today here on the Ideas Network. Well, nothing funny about insurance rates in the state of Wisconsin, and we're talking about them this morning. There's a just completed Wisconsin Health Insurance Cost Rankings report composed by Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Robert Craig, executive director of that organization, is with us this morning by phone, and so is Susan in Racine. And let's hear what Susan has to say. Susan, good morning.
Good morning.
Go
my
ahead.
Question is, I'm an individual, I'm 57, I have to buy individual insurance, and I need to buy some new insurance because I want to try to get some of that preventative care. But anyway, I'm wondering how I find out, in terms of individual coverage, not group coverage, how I find a correlation between quality and cost. I have to also buy the health savings account, the high deductible kind of insurance, so that you can get the health savings account.
Yeah, where do people go for that kind of information, Robert Craig, do you know?
That's a really good question. I mean, there is some information on the Office of the Insurance Commissioner's website, but not a whole lot. That's one of the problems. The individual market is, we can't even study what the rates are because all of the information, it's all proprietary. I mean, obviously, we don't have a public source purchasing individual market insurance, which is the insurance people have to buy on their own when they don't have an employer buying it for them. And it's very hard for the individual to assess what quality is. There are new consumer protections that went into effect, and I think the caller referenced that, such as in 6 months after passage of national health care reform, so on September 23rd, including that they have to cover all preventive care without deductibles. And so a new policy, if your caller, if Susan gets that, we'll have that and some other protections, like a ban on rescissions where they throw you off your policy after you get sick, lifetime limits, and children be able to stay on policies till they're 26 years of age. So there are some improvements. The only thing I can really say now is that this is going to change in 2014 if national health care reform is fully implemented, because the key feature of that reform is the creation, and people will hear this term a lot in the next couple of years, the creation of state health insurance exchanges, which are going to be regulated marketplaces where people can buy insurance and get subsidies to afford it. People who don't have employer-based coverage buy it on their own, or people from small businesses, for example, or people who have very high costs, even if they have employment-based coverage. And so those exchanges are going to have very good information, if we do it right in Wisconsin, about the quality of each plan. They're going to have even stricter requirements as to how those plans are going to operate to make sure that they cover all necessary care and have good standard benefits packages. So, and we can talk about this moving forward, John, but those exchanges, which the state has to plan in the next year and a half or so, are the best hope to changing the health insurance market in each region of the state and then bringing costs under control. So this report points to the importance of implementing those exchanges successfully and doing it right away, because it's really on the next legislature to do that.
All right, let's take another call. This time it'll be Tom in Burlington.
Good morning. I'd like to give an example and then ask some questions off of that. A friend of mine has cancer, just diagnosed with breast cancer. She was a smoker for 30 years, and it was very painful watching her smoke these cigarettes over the last 8 years, and I could never get her to stop. And I called up her doctor when I found out she had the cancer to ask him if he would tell her to stop smoking. And I got in trouble with him. It seems to me that the Dana-Farber Harvard Cancer Center has said if the patient does not stop smoking, going through the operation with the chemotherapy and the radiation does absolutely no good. And I thought, well, maybe he can impress upon her how important it is for her to stop smoking. Now the thing is, her cancer her cancer expenses will be picked up by the state. Everything is paid for. Now, the thing is, one question is, if people smoke cigarettes and they pour all this money into the state with $7 or $6 tax on every cigarette, on every package, maybe we could make some kind of a fund where these people have a special separate kind of thing where their expenses are paid for or whatever, so that the rest of us aren't being dragged down by this tremendous cost of cancer expenses. And it seems to me these hospitals seem to be competing with each other to get the cancer, the patients. And if we are paying for this woman's her cancer, it's a public thing, we're paying for it. Why don't we have any kind of rights or something to say, well, here, this is how I want her treatment to be handled? I know I've answered a couple of questions here, but maybe one of them might be you can answer.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Robert Craig. Just ask the caller one clarifying question. Is the state paying for it because she's on public assistance or a public employee, or why is the state paying for it?
She's on public aid.
Okay. So, I mean, the caller raises, some very significant questions. I think an interesting idea he has about using cigarette tax money for that purpose. The issue is that the state is already using, you'd probably have to raise it even more because of the state fiscal crisis. We have a very tough budget this time, and so you'd probably have to raise it further in order to segregate that money. But I think the broader question is, how do you promote more wellness, fewer people smoking? Because it's very expensive once people need specialty care. We have a very good acute care system in this country with tremendously skilled specialists, but it costs a lot more to wait till people are sick in chronic conditions, either because of their behavior or for other reasons, just because you don't have screening of something that was beyond their control. And so if we move to a more integrated healthcare system where there is much better coordination of care, better chronic disease management, that is what can bring costs down. And so the promise of healthcare reform is that we encourage the healthcare marketplace to do that. And in fact, link the payment system to it. Right now, the payment system rewards volume as opposed to quality and overemphasizes specialty care once people are already very sick and underemphasizes primary and preventive care. And so the new marketplace we need to create in health insurance and in health care in general all is tied to doing that, and that's the only way we're going to bring escalating costs under control. And that's the biggest issue, not how any individual case is paid for, because that's why we have the most expensive healthcare system in the world, but still happen to have a very large number of uninsured people, even when we're paying all that money.
All right, Tom, thanks for the call. We've had a couple of emails come in, and I want to get to those as well. Alyssa says, are you suggesting to duplicate UW Health System? So, for example, having Aurora offer insurance and care in the Milwaukee area?
That is one thing that might help. I mean, I don't know that that's the only solution, but if the providers were directly competing with each other, both not only as providers, but also as within distinct health plans. So you were buying in Milwaukee, the Aurora plan versus the Columbia St. Mary's plan. Yes, that might be an element of competition, of greater competition. But it's not necessarily the only way, but what does need to happen if the marketplace is going to function is that cost needs to be a factor in competition, but so does quality. So that you set up a market where consumers are, where there's pressure on each provider network, each health system, to provide the highest quality possible care at the most efficient level, at the lowest possible cost, which is what happens, obviously, in a functioning market. And the market is dysfunctional in most parts of the country and in most metro areas of Wisconsin. Madison is slightly better that way because cost seems to be part of the competition between the major providers. So I think the emailer makes a good point. That is one possible direction, but however you get there, you need there to be cost and quality competition. The real opportunity here is that the new health insurance exchanges, if Wisconsin structures the exchange right under national health care reform, could create much better incentives for that kind of competition. And if you do that, then you could really start to bring health care costs under control.
Well, I don't mean to be dense. I guess I just am sometimes. But I'm thinking about Superior, which is where I make my home, and there's a university in town. It's the county seat, so you have county employees who have coverage. There are three school districts in Douglas County, and then a variety of state offices. So there are a lot of people who are in, basically, in the state insurance pool. The school districts negotiate their own insurance rates. And we have a very good health system here. The quality of care, specifically in the Twin Ports area, is excellent. There are, there's almost more hospitals than people in Duluth, and yet we pay a lot more for insurance. I guess I'm trying to figure that out.
I think, this is a complicated question, but it certainly in this study over the last 5 years helps to demonstrate this. There are a lot of elements you need to fit together to have a well-functioning health insurance market that promotes both quality and efficiency and cost and some kind of level of cost control. And so you can have a number of the right elements. You can have the kind of provider-driven networks that provide integrated care, your Marshfields, right, and your Gunderson Lutherans, and you can have high quality. But if it isn't set up in a way so that cost is really part of the dynamic, the competition between the various provider groups and the health systems, then you still get very high cost. And so it seems to us anyway that Northwest Wisconsin, places like Eau Claire and Superior, and North Central Wisconsin like Wausau and also La Crosse, have more of the elements of a functioning market. And so probably if we implement national health care reform right and the exchanges, the new marketplaces Wisconsin has to set up in order to create competition, you have a better chance of it coming together in these areas of the state, in Superior and La Crosse, than in Milwaukee, where we're very far away from it, and we have we have both low-quality national health care plans, the for-profit insurance companies, and very little competition. So I think that it just shows that you need a number of different elements to create a functioning, effective marketplace, and you can have some of them and still end up with high costs. So I agree with you, John. You have high quality in Superior, but you don't have a market dynamic that brings costs down the way you get in Madison.
Yeah, I know the school district of Superior has gone through sometimes as many as two different providers in a year. They keep renegotiating the contract, trying to get a reasonable cost. And my wife happens to be a teacher in the district, so I'm always having to get rid of one insurance card and put another one in my wallet. Let's go to another phone call. Green Bay this time. Joel, you'll be next. Joel, good morning.
Good morning. I have a little different perspective on it, and I have a question for you. I'm an anesthesiologist here in Green Bay. So I'm a provider, obviously tertiary care, so I have little to do with actually who gets into the system and who requires health care. But my question to you is, how do regional demographics bear into it? I can tell you from my point of view, Medicare pays me 21 cents on a dollar compared to what I get with private insurance, the average negotiated rate for private insurance. Medicaid is about 19 cents on a dollar. And obviously, with the economy being the way it is, we see more and more patients who we get nothing to take care of. And, you know, is it possible that the Madison area has more employed patients with private insurance, and therefore the physicians and the hospitals don't have the same need to cost shift to cover expenses?
I think the caller raises an extremely interesting point. We've tried to look at the question of cost shifting with this data since we started doing this report 5 years ago. And it does not, and this is there's other research that in Wisconsin that also shows, it doesn't show a strong correlation. You would expect Milwaukee to be much higher in cost than any other area of the state because it has the highest level of poverty and the most Medicaid, which pays a lot less than Medicare. But you do not see that. And other research in Milwaukee has shown that kind of cost shifting to be a small factor. The problem is we don't have access to the actual internal data from the hospitals and the broader health system, so we can't look between the regions and see which factors are driving it in terms of the cost centers. So we have to derive it from the premiums. Now, the one thing, and the other point the caller raises, which is also very interesting, is their demographic difference, not just the cost shifting because of number of people on Medicare or Medicaid, but is there simply a demographic difference between Madison and the rest of the state? And what's interesting is that in 2000, which is the year that the major healthcare hyperinflation that we're suffering right now really started, that's when national health insurance costs really started to take off, Madison was in the middle of the pack, and Northeast Wisconsin was the lowest cost area. Now Madison's lower than everywhere else, and Northeast Wisconsin has had the most rapid increase and is catching up to the high cost areas. And so there's nothing in the census data that would suggest any demographic shift in Madison in the last 10 years vis-a-vis the rest of the state that would explain this. It really looks like it's the healthcare market. And there are two things Madison has. I mean, a couple things. Madison has four distinct groups of health systems that compete with each other on cost and quality. They also have a very large number of state employees. So that creates more buying power, which also probably puts a downward pressure on rates. It has a competitive bidding system in the state employee health insurance plan, but that exists everywhere else. And so that's why we think for implementing Wisconsin State Health Insurance Exchange under national health care reform, which the next legislature has to do, you need to combine competitive bidding to bring down costs and as many people in the exchange as possible so that you have a larger pool to bring pressure on prices. So we think from Madison those elements are key as Wisconsin and the legislature next year consider how to develop Wisconsin's health insurance exchange under national health care reform.
Joel, thanks for the call. Let's go next to Janesville and hear from Kenneth. Kenneth, good
morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Everybody seems to have forgotten the health commissions. I can't remember exactly what the law was passed or called when it was passed, but it was passed in the 60s, whereby the whole country, it was passed through Congress. It was gotten by the Hospital Association and the AMA, if you would believe, and all these people, whereby the federal, these were federal commissions that were set up to have the same kind of health care throughout the country, and you couldn't do anything related to health unless you got it by these commissions. The idea being that if you wanted a hospital, it couldn't be, you know, close to another hospital. But what happened is in these last 40 or 50 years, the medical people have learned, you know, it's not going to happen to us again. They got real powerful. And the idea of the law was, you know, we need this commission, and we're going to give you a whole lot of money, but we're going to tell you where to put the hospitals because we don't want too many hospitals in one place, too many doctors and hospitals in one place, and not any in another. And the cost of health care will be the same throughout the country. But what the hospital people have done is, so we want the money and we want to do what we want to do, but we're going to take the money is what's happened. They took it to court. And if you can talk about that law that was passed in the 60s that solved this problem, but It was completely dismantled by Nixon and people following.
Okay, let's let Robert Craig respond to that. Kenneth, thanks for the call.
Yeah, the caller makes a very interesting point. Now, I'm not an expert on that history, that part of healthcare history. I know that there were such structures set up in the 60s and 70s in the United States. But more recently, states had, and some states, a lot of states still have this, had what you call certificate of need programs that required hospitals to justify the need for any new facility, a new specialty unit, et cetera, so you wouldn't get overcapacity that drove up rates. And in Wisconsin, that was repealed in the 90s under Governor Thompson. It still exists in Michigan, and for example, in Michigan, especially the Upper Peninsula, has a lot lower health insurance costs than in Wisconsin. And here's what happens then when you don't have when you don't have the state deciding whether you need a new MRI machine or a new hospital or a new unit in a hospital, then you have a building of extra capacity. And if the insurance, if the hospital chains, the health systems, as they're called now, have enough market power, they can require the insurance companies to pay for their whole infrastructure, and that drives rates up. So if you're not going to have a state regulation, which is what we used to have in Wisconsin, former Congressman Paul Offner was in the state legislature from La Crosse, actually set it up in Wisconsin, then you at least need to create market competition that discourages it, so that overbuilding actually harms the competitive position of a particular hospital system. And national health care reform offers that opportunity. It gives the states the ability to create these new marketplaces, health insurance exchanges. If they're structured right, then you could have market forces actually create disincentives for overbuilding. And so that's the promise of national health care reform. But I have to say, far from being a government takeover, it's going to be a much more market-based approach to trying to achieve the same result the caller is talking about, which is not having overcapacity and actually having having the most efficient, highest quality care possible.
Well, we have a lot of calls. If you're trying to get in and you're getting a busy signal, send us an email. The address is talk@wpr.org. We've got several emails backed up and a whole full phone bank. We'll get to as many of those as we can between now and the top of the hour. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of WPR. It's 9:44. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, I don't know what you'll be doing at 12:30 today, but I know what I'll be doing. I'll be sitting in my office having my sandwich and listening to Jim Fleming as he reads from The Chimes by Charles Dickens on Chapter a Day. The subtitle tells it all, a goblin story of some bells that rang an old year out and a new year in. The Chimes by Charles Dickens, read for us on Chapter a Day today by Jim Fleming. I could listen to him read the phone book. All right. We have health insurance costs on our mind, specifically a new study, the just-completed Wisconsin Health Insurance Cost Rankings Report, the fifth annual, compiled by Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Robert Craig, executive director of that organization, is with us to answer questions, and we've got a ton of them. Let's go to an email here. Jason from New Berlin, who Robert Craig is clearly a fan of yours, he says, Robert Craig is brilliant. I could listen to him for hours. Can you ask him what he thinks the plans of Governor-elect Walker will have on health care in Wisconsin, particularly for Wisconsin teachers, and what the impact will be on the Obama health care plan, since the lame duck Congress has not passed a budget that will fund the new plan? A lot to chew on there.
Yeah, very interesting question. So I see two levels to that question. Governor-elect Walker wants to do on national health care reform implementation, what he wants to do about public employee health insurance in Wisconsin, since he's talked a lot about that as well. He ran against national health care reform and supporting repeal and plans to join the lawsuit that a number of red states have joined to try to prove it's unconstitutional. But at the same time, he has taken a position in the media that he wants to start trying to implement the key part of the reform, the state health insurance exchanges. But he has ideas on how it should be structured. So I think that's very constructive, and we welcome that, and because we think the state exchanges have the opportunity, really, to create a marketplace where we can get lower-cost health insurance across the whole state like we have in Madison. It remains to be seen, though, because there is so much kind of conservative opposition to health care reform, how the Walker administration will perform. We don't even know who his top people in the cabinet on health care are going to be yet. But at this point, there's some hope that he'll want to work on implementation of national health care reform, which is really the only hope to bring these markets and health care costs under control in Wisconsin, in my view. As far as public employees go, there has been, because we've had healthcare hyperinflation and so many people have in small businesses have lost their insurance or have had higher copays, there's been this tendency to want to scapegoat public employees who have held on to better insurance, even though those employees have given away wages for years in order to hold on to that benefit. And that's going to be a major point of discussion in the state budget and the legislature. I'm sure there'll be a lot of proposals out there. I think the real solution here, though, is to guarantee everyone in the state access to quality, affordable coverage rather than trying to go after those people who still have decent coverage, and particularly public servants and teachers who and other public workers who, frankly, do a lot to make this state work and be a successful state and a state with a high quality of life. So I think we should be focusing on guaranteeing good quality coverage to everyone and lower costs, not just singling any group out, especially public servants.
Here's something that I wanted to know about. When I was reading the report, one of the things that kind of struck me here, and I didn't understand it, was you cite a statistic that shows Wisconsin's hospital operating margins are almost two-thirds higher than the national average. Why is that?
Well, that has to do, quite frankly, and we don't know. I mean, the data is from the American Hospital Association, and it was published by with the help of the Michigan Hospital Association, where they were laying out the various states. So we know that it's the case, and we know, therefore, most likely Wisconsin hospitals have had less competitive pressure. And so that may indicate why healthcare costs are higher here and why inflation has been higher here, that hospitals are able to operate at a greater margin in the state. So what that tells you is that they are, we talked earlier about how much of the health insurance premium dollar goes to care, but then the question is, with a hospital, how much of their actual revenue goes out the door in actual medical care, and how much goes to reserves and other things? And it appears that Wisconsin's hospitals have done very, very well compared to the national average, which probably reflects less competitive pressure and is one of the reasons for higher costs in Wisconsin.
Here's another email. Rolf from Hixton emails, "The entire discussion you are having on the vagaries of health insurance premium costs is just more evidence of the need for, necessity of, single-payer universal health care. How can anyone justify a health care system that does not have as a fundamental principle that health care is a basic human right and should never be based on irrelevant and inhumane factors of chance and circumstance, such as where one lives and the competition within the health insurance market in that locale? Healthcare should help compensate for the randomness of life, not enhance it."
I think from a values position, the emailer makes an extremely good point. I mean, it's a policy that has worked in other countries very, very well. The issue is that you have to meld policy with what is possible within a particular country at a particular time. And it is simply not politically possible in the United States at this point to move very quickly towards a single-payer system. We've built up a very large private healthcare system and health insurance system since World War II, and there's a lot of money in it, a lot of stakeholders in it that will strongly resist. And there is also a real kind of public apprehension about a government-run system in the United States, which runs much deeper historically than it does in other advanced industrial countries, and has been obviously heightened as a strategy by conservatives over the last couple decades. So even though I think it would be a very effective policy, it's not something that is conceivable in the United States right now. Maybe the politics of the country would change in a few years in advance, but I don't think it's very possible or viable right now, and therefore we have to talk about and work on what we can actually do at this stage in American history, given the American political system and given where public opinion is. So I guess I'm giving the political answer. From a policy standpoint, the emailer makes an extremely good point, but it's a question of how you get to a policy and whether it's viable at a given time in a country's history.
Let's go back to the phones. We've got full phone lines, and let's take a call from West Bend. Paul, you'll be next. Paul, good morning.
Hi, good morning. You know, most items and services we buy that are high ticket items, we get specifications and we compare specifications and benefits, and then we purchase from the most competitive provider, whether it's building a school edition or you're buying a high definition television set. Now, the medical systems that perform the work on your chassis when you're ill or sick, we connected competitive bids, and the for-profit insurance companies nearly pass the costs on, and they actually make more money as the costs go up because they're their markups are based on a higher cost of the operation. So my question is, if I'm a self-insured, why doesn't the state develop an electronic proposal or bid form where I can go into one of these five or six delivery systems in the, say, greater Milwaukee area and get the list of all the procedures that are going to be needed for my operation? And every procedure, of course, has about a 17-digit code, so a specification for my operation would be prepared, and electronically would be sent to, say, five or six of these medical delivery systems, and I could pick operation dates, and they would fill out this bid form. And they would also, on this bid form, they would have the list of who the insurances that have the anesthesiologist has, that the surgeon has, et cetera, et cetera. And then the numbers come in, you know, from, say, $17,000 to $80,000. I mean, there is absolutely no competition in this industry, from the MRI machines made by GE to the sutures to the aspirin that you pay $10 for a 300 milligram aspirin. I mean, that is my problem, is that there is no competition, and therefore you've got Taj Mahal lobbies in the Aurora complexes. Go into there, you think you're walking into a 5-star hotel. It's absurd. You're never going to control costs until you have level playing field, competitive bidding in this industry.
I think the caller makes an interesting point. What the caller's point near the beginning about how insurance companies don't have an interest in trying to bring costs down because they just get a bigger cut, their percentage cut gets higher if costs are higher, is accurate and is one of the reasons that we've had such healthcare hyperinflation in the last 10 years. The hospitals do not have an interest, quite frankly, in making all of their rates public. There's been a lot of some progress in that area of comparative research and more transparency, but it's not available to most consumers. I think the problem is that most people, a very active consumer like the caller, could make use of such a process, but for most people, they're not going to have the time nor feel very, very confident in deciding the quality and cost question about a major procedure or other medical care. They're going
proposes. And depending on your insurance provider, you may be locked into a specific health system.
Yeah, and the caller was talking about if I'm buying it on my own, which most people couldn't afford. But yes, but we do think that competition between health plans for the same benefit packages is something that's much more viable, and that's what these new health insurance exchanges under national health care reform are supposed to do, and that's what Wisconsin's supposed to be developing during the next legislative session. And so I think that that market competition and choice between health plans is much more viable than people choosing on an open marketplace every kind of medical service they might need throughout their lives. But I think the caller makes a lot of good points about why the current market is dysfunctional and not transparent.
Yeah, there's a certain irony here in the fact that if I go in to have my car repaired, the repair person has to give me a detailed estimate up front as to what I'm going to be spending to get my car fixed, and I wouldn't get one of those if I went to the hospital. We've got just a few minutes left. Let's go quickly to Mel in Pulaski. Mel, good morning.
Yes, I can tell you exactly what the problem is with the present medical system. In 1967, the price of a semi-private room was $27 a day. You can't find a semi-private room. Everything is Taj Mahal, like the previous gentleman said. Second problem is there is no competition. Good example, in the Green Bay area, there was three non-profit hospitals. All of a sudden, the for-profit hospital comes in, and great big Taj Mahals are built again. Your duplication of services have happened. And everybody, all the other three hospitals now has to spend $20, $30 million to keep up to the for-profit hospital. And the last problem we have is all these doctors are affiliated with a hospital. They have to bring so many patients in every day, every month. There should be no doctors affiliated with a hospital. They should be all independent, so there's more competition. The hospitals set the rates, and they say, this is it, take it or leave it. And finally, the insurance companies, what they do is, my wife had surgery. It cost $25,000 for the physician. When the insurance company got done, they took $8,000. Well, as a private individual, I can't do anything with that. and the executive of that company made $126 million. Doing what? Pushing papers? The problem is you've got to deregulate these hospitals and force them and set standards and set prices and say this is it.
Okay, well, we get it, and we only have about 30 seconds left. Robert Craig?
Caller makes some great points about how the current system, it does not create competition for insurance or for hospitals. The one opportunity we have to deal with this and change the market is implementing national health care reform in Wisconsin. And I think people should ask any politicians who want to repeal the law, what do they propose as an alternative? Because as far as we can see, the only real opportunity we have to create competition in the health insurance marketplace and bring costs under control is fully implementing national health care reform. And we think Wisconsin can actually do it better than most other states if we will just do it in the next legislative session.
Very quickly, does the state have any control over companies withdrawing coverage in a given county? An emailer wanted to know. A dean pulled out of Walworth County. This person wants to know if there's anything customers can do.
No, not right now. That's a private market decision. It might be that if you had more people in these insurance exchanges, a bigger market, bigger pool, then there'd be more inducement to move into other areas.
All right.
But at this point, it's up to Dean Care where it wants to operate, unfortunately, for the caller.
Okay, well, we had full phones at the end. We could have done this for another hour, Robert Craig. We need to discuss this topic again. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you, and happy holidays, John.
And to you as well. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin. This program was produced by Rhonda Fanning. Dave Potraz handled on-air production. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn. Stick around. We're going to talk about Mickey Mantle next hour. Yes, it's baseball in the middle of the winter.